Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I feel better all over more than anywhere else. Wow. Good medicine. The Bible says a merry heart, a happy heart does good like medicine. Somebody laugh. Come on. Come on, turn it loose. A merry heart, a laughter does good like medicine. That's what the Bible says. What are you laughing about? I'm laughing that the devil tripped and fell on his nose. Okay, you ready now? Oh, wow. Kid you not, that felt good. It's just, if you could bottle that and sell it, that feeling. If you could bottle and sell this feeling, you could put marijuana out of business. I mean, this is good stuff. Father, reveal yourself to us by your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. I have a sermonette, and I don't know where to, I'll just jump in, okay? One shepherd, one flock. One shepherd, one flock. That means, okay, Jesus is a shepherd, right? One flock. Where are you at? This is the only church on earth. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Praise God. We have no problem believing in one shepherd. We should never have a problem in believing in one flock. There are many flocks who have many different titles and names. By flock, you know I mean churches, organizations, fellowships. But there's just one flock. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It is the flock, the one flock. Is made up of people from every denomination, every church, every fellowship, every race of people, every nation, every tongue. It's made up by any of all of those who serve Jesus. Those that believe in Jesus, believe He is the Lord, believe He is the Savior. Color doesn't matter. Nothing matters except believe in Jesus. Even many doctrinal points, the theological points, separate people. You know, they want to do it that way, and they want to do it that way, and you know, we got our way. But there's one thing that makes us the flock of God, and that is that we believe Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He raised from the dead, and He's alive today. And when we call upon Jesus, He's there. I mean, we believe these things, and those all over the earth that believe these things are the flock. But we have a lot of little flocks within the flock. There are families within families, right? Mitch and Nina here, you know, we like to use them because they're usable. They're raising a family. Mitch's mother here today, she raised a family. So there's families within families. And if grandmother was here, there'd be another generation. Families, families, families within. Well, there are flocks within flocks. So even though we believe in one Lord, one Savior, one shepherd, one flock, we also realize there are flocks within flocks. And we don't want to forget that. Jesus said in John 10:14, I'm going to read out of the New King James. John 10:14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. Now verse 16 is something that's been speaking to me. And other sheep. See the first three words up there? And other sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He was talking to the sheep of the day and his present, then present congregation, probably made up of his 12 disciples, and who knows how many others were around. That was a flock he was addressing for the moment, that day. And he says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be, what? One flock and one shepherd. And the surface point that I want to make should be clear to us by now that we're not the only Christians. The Faith Ministries Church is not the only church in town. Now, Jesus here, one of the things he was talking about prophetically was that he would go to the nations because there would be sheep in the nations to be gathered to the flock. We know that not too long after he spoke this, through what we could call the week of his passion, death, burial, resurrection, then 40 days later, Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit falls on 120 people, and then begins after that, soon after that, begins to follow many more, and they spoke in other tongues, and they spoke the glorious works of God in the languages of many nations. And so he began, even in the first part of Acts, to gather the sheep from the nations that they might be one flock in him. And I work on this in my mind, my heart, I feel like it's elementary. I feel like it's something we should have learned a long time ago. And yet some of us maybe haven't learned it well. There's only one flock. And born-again Baptists are part of that flock. Born-again Catholics are part of that flock. Born-again Methodists are part of that flock. Do we let it go on? How long is the list? He spoke to those disciples on this day in John 10. And what he was saying here, there are many more that I'll bring into the flock. Many more that will come into the kingdom. Many more that will come into the church. Many more that will be brought into my body. When his blood was shed on the cross, it was not just for the 12 disciples. It was not just for the 120 on the day of Pentecost. It was not just for the 3,000 that were born again on the day of Pentecost. The blood was shed on the cross for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would be willing to receive him as Lord and Savior. And we must include them in our thinking. This message could easily run over into the subject of prejudice. There's no room for prejudice in the body of Christ because there's just one flock. We are one in him. And we must never allow even the tiniest smidgen of prejudice come into our heart. This man has a nice olive complexion. I'm a white boy. The Father looks at us and all he sees is men, two men. He doesn't see a brown man and a white man. He sees men. We are in his flock together. We are one in him. There's no separation of any kind. We're just one in him. I feel like I'm touching on something that should be elementary. It is elementary. We should have learned these things a long time ago. I want to encourage you, get rid of the prejudice. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to just, you know, watch the news and realize prejudice is a problem. And there's no room for it in the church. We won't stand for it in the church. We got some real pretty people. We got black folks and brown folks, white folks. What other color? Peter, he's got a yellow folks. He's got a lot of Chinese blood in him. Got a Frenchman sitting here. We got a great American Indian nation represented over here. I think this is good. Let's cultivate this. Let's put a different nationality in every seat. What do you say? And let's show the world that we can be the world. Show the world we can be one flock. I can just see a different nationality in every seat, and God taking a look at that and saying, "That's what I was talking about." Don't let prejudice get in your life even a little bit. Don't let it get in your jokes. And don't listen to those kind of jokes. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us one. One body, one people, one flock. God is so all-inclusive. I hope that's the correct word. He wants everybody. You know, you'd think the way some people think, you'd think, well, God made this color, the devil made that color. Again, we're touching on elementary things here, but it could be that some of us have been, you already just reach over and kiss somebody. I don't care what color they are. Look. That's it. Make or take it. God even loves sinners. And he wants them in his flock. Now, when they come into the flock, they have to leave the sin outside, but the person can come in. I found an interesting scripture while I was working on this. Look at Isaiah 56:8. Everybody say, I'm happy. I just want so much for everybody to just love one another as people. Many years ago, about 15 years ago, give or take, I was in the office on Wednesday night, and a woman came in, a local lady. And during those days, the church is just a block north of us, up by the school, two blocks north of it. At that time, it was called Foothills Christian Church. And the pastor was John Fortune. Everybody, most people may remember John Fortune. He was a black brother. And sweet man. I got to participate in his ordination service when he was ordained and prophesy over him. A great man of God. And this lady came in and she said, you know, I started to walk by the church where that black preacher, and she didn't call him black, she used the wrong word, where that preacher preaching, she said, I just felt all these evil demons, and I went a block all the way around out of my way so I wouldn't have to walk by his church to get here. Would you like to know what I did? It's in my memory pretty good. When she said that, I went like this, quite firmly. And I laid my hand on her head, and I began to cast the devils out of her. I didn't listen to her. I didn't ask her what she wanted or needed. I just heard her say that about my brother. And I began to cast the demons of prejudice out of her. And I cursed that devil, and I cursed that spirit of prejudice, and I cursed everything that I could think of that needed cursing. And it went on for several minutes. I just wouldn't quit cursing that ornery rascal because he was still there in her. And pretty soon, she began to get some deliverance. And she began to feel the deliverance. She began to relax and she began to cry. Been a while since I talked to the lady, but last time I talked to her, she was going to a church and the pastor's black. Now I'm just opening the door on this subject because some of us need to get rid of some prejudice. And I'm not just talking about black and white. There's a lot of prejudice, and I mean, please forgive me. Don't throw any rotten chili peppers. But in our years of Mexico, ministry to Mexico, I've seen a lot of prejudice between the Latinos on this side of the border and this side of the border, and how they're in conflict with one another. A lot of strong prejudice. Honey, get rid of that. They're your brothers. They're your sisters. They're the same flock. You've only got one shepherd. Did you find Isaiah 56:8? I'm glad you finally did. The Lord who gathers the outcast of Israel says, yet I will gather to him, speaking of Israel, I'll gather to him, others, everybody say others, others beside those who are gathered to him. Now, we're going to jump up to verse 3. We read 8, we're going to jump back up to verse 3. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, Here I am a dry tree, for thus says the Lord, the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I'll give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. And I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them, those foreigners, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, and their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And the Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. He's out to get everybody into his kingdom. His purpose is to gather everybody into one flock. Now, believe it or not, this is actually contrary to what we call the law of Moses. Not the law of God, but the law of Moses. One of the laws that Moses made was that foreigners couldn't come into the temple and worship. Eunuchs. Do I need to tell you what that is? That's a man that's been castrated. They used to castrate the men and use them to take care of the harems and all the girls. You know, obvious purposes there, I guess. But the Bible, the law of Moses says the eunuchs can't come in and worship with everybody else. They have to stay out. God says, on the other hand, I want all the foreigners in. And I want all the eunuchs in. All they have to do to qualify is just worship me and serve me with all their heart and bring them on in. One flock. One flock, one flock, one shepherd, one flock, one shepherd, one flock. He's ready to accept anybody and everybody that'll serve him. Well, I thought that was interesting. Hope you did. I think we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2. Barbara, I'm taking up all your time. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Starting verse 11. Did you find Ephesians 2:11? Therefore, when you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Have you ever been there? But now, in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. And I guess I could read it in my version. You're no longer strangers and foreigners and eunuchs, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, this is evidence that Jesus was an American Indian. It says, Jesus Christ himself being chief, cornerstone. Amen. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If I ever, or you ever, look at a Christian of a different race or color and had prejudice, we are having prejudice against the very dwelling place of God Almighty. Do we dare? You still with me? Look at chapter 4, verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Oh, hallelujah. He sent, Paul the Apostle sent this letter to the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was known for its many ethnic background people. It was known for, it had, like Athens in Greece, it had false gods and false statues to literally hundreds of deities, false deities, from many languages, many nations, many tongues, many peoples, many colors. And they were all, you know, they were just so diversified. And Paul says, hey guys, there's just one. Hey Ephesus, there's just one. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I want to do 1 Corinthians 12:12. Barbara, I took up all your time. You forgive me? 1 Corinthians 12:12. As the body, talking about the body of Christ, right? As for this, the body is one and has many members. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Many members, being many, but one body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. Whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When me and this brown brother drank of the same bottle, we're drinking out of the same bottle, amen? Called a Holy Ghost bottle. And when God looks at us, he just sees one flock, one man, one body, one shepherd, one flock. This is so important, guys. This is so important. The devil is using prejudice all over this world. Prejudice, religion against religion, race against race, ethnic background against ethnic background. I mean, it just goes on and on. Ferguson, Missouri is not the only place there's prejudice. I mean, it's all over. Do you have any idea? No, you don't. Oh, maybe I better back. In my lifetime, I've had more white people prejudice against me and what I stand for than any other color. So it's not just color, is it? It's just the stinking devil that gets in people and makes them not like other people because they wear purple instead of green, wear their hair long instead of short, comb their hair to the left instead of the right. It's just a stupid spirit of prejudice that gets on people to make them feel separated from one another. It really doesn't have that much to do with color, because every color and within all races and all colors, there's this prejudice one against another. It's just got to go. It's just got to go. I mean, you know, we got to get this thing together. I can't be prejudiced against you because You want twice as much garlic on your fish as I do? That's kind of silly. But that's just about how silly some prejudices ideas are. When I look at you, I see one body, one flock. I look at you, I just see one flock. Because Jesus only sees one flock. And I want each and every one of us to just see one flock when we look at people here, people in other congregations and churches. Let's just see one flock. What do you say? Let's give the devil a black eye and just see one flock, one people, one blood, all drinking out of the same bottle. Yes, please stand to your feet. Barbara, come take this. We've already had a time of prayer and ministry, but if there's some more that needs to be attended to, we will do that. People, I love you. I love you desperately. I need you desperately. Oh, I need you. I need you. I need you. And I want so much for people to just love people. That's the passion of my heart, is to see people loving one another just because it's a person I can love. It's like, I hope by now you realize that I don't like prejudice. I just don't like things that are prejudiced. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right to be prejudiced. It's not right. It's not right in a marriage. It's not right among friends. It's not right in the church. It's not right among races. It's not right among nations. Prejudice has to go. And I want us to do everything we can to set a good example of seeing one another as one people. All made by God, perfectly, just how He wanted us made.
Hallelujah. One of the things that I was going to talk about was God's love, but relationships. Part of the love of God, having the love of God, is honoring people, giving honor and respect to people. And honor is something that's built into us by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we honor other people, not for what they do, but because they're people that was made in the likeness and image of God, and they deserve our honor as God's creation. Maybe what they do isn't honorable, but we have an honor for them because they are precious. They're people for whom God died. And there's a God wants to build honor into our heart, that we honor every human being, that we honor everyone. You know, there's not only racial prejudice, there's doctrinal prejudice, there's political prejudice, there's prejudice in so many ways you could name. But in our heart, in a heart of love, there's not room for prejudice. We cannot, that doesn't mean we agree with everything someone else believes or what they do, but we honor them as precious in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, God, honor is something that's built into our heart. It comes with having the love of God. Hallelujah. God loves. He just loves. He is love. That's who He is. Hallelujah. And the more we know Him, the more that we will walk in His love and in His power. Father, I thank You. I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for this people. I thank You, Lord, for just letting Your love grow inside of us, that we just ooze with the love of God, and that we love people where they are, and we love them for who You've created them to be. Father, we just thank You for blessing us with an increase of Your love, an increase of Your presence. Just, Lord, let our take all the walls down in our hearts, whatever kind of prejudice that we might have. We just ask You, Father, right now, to take every wall in our heart down. Just take it down and let us flow as vessels of Your love. Lord, let rivers of living water flow out of this congregation. Let God's rivers of living water flow out into their families, into the people they work with, into their relatives, into their friends. Father, we ask for a release of the love of God and the river of God to flow out of this people. Oh, that we will love with your love. That we will see people precious as you see them, that we will see the gold that's buried there and not the dirt on the surface. Father, we ask for eyes to see with your eyes. We ask, Lord, for hearts to love with your heart. Father, we ask just for, that we will that we will lay down our flesh, lay down, oh, that thing in us that wants to be right, and that we'll just give up the right to be right, that we may flow in your love, that we will love with your love, Father. We just thank you for it, Jesus. We bless this people with life and health and joy and peace. We ask for peace in their families, Lord. We ask for, I ask for an anointing on this congregation to be evangelists that draws people to Jesus. Just the anointing to win souls. I just thank you, Jesus, that it's falling. It's falling. It's falling. It's falling right now. The anointing to bring people into the kingdom of God. And you don't have to be perfect to be there. You know, right where we are, we can have God's love flowing through us to draw others to the cross and draw others to Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon this people and this congregation, Lord, that they will go out and love with your love and shine with your light. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Just praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Before we leave, just lift your hands to the Lord and just say, Father, I just give it all to you. Give it all to you, Father. I surrender my life to you. Surrender my life to you, Father, and even my problems and my hang-ups, I just give them to you right now, Lord. I give them to you. I give all that I am to you. I lay it at your feet. My worries, my fears, I lay them at your feet, for you are well able. Your grace is made perfect in my weakness. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your steady supply of divine power to us. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.